recording this call. And my name is Sean Dove, and I want to welcome everyone and thank you for joining the Campaign for Black Male Achievement monthly membership call. We gather here on this line once a month to get information and inspiration for the field of black male achievement, to hear from the hometown heroes and local leaders, that would be you, and the work that you all are doing across the country. And for those of you who don't know, the Campaign for Black Male Achievement was launched at the Open Society Foundations back in 2008 to respond to the growing disparities that black men and boys were facing in the United States. It was originally supposed to be a 3-year campaign, but we launched the campaign at a time when we were entrepreneurial and saw the need to extend the work. We did not get here overnight when we look at the conditions that black men and black people are facing in the United States, and there was no way that a 3-year campaign could address and begin to build a movement, which we have done. We spun off into an independent entity back in 2015, and we are now a team of 15. Our mission essentially is to invest in leaders just like yourselves on the call to make sure that your work grows, that it is sustained, and that it has impact. Since the time we have launched into an independent entity, we have created work around BMA Health and Healing and a focus on wellness. We have created our Rumble Young Man Rumble strategy into a year-round focus that's being led by Steve Vassar. And we have a few folks on the call from Louisville, the epicenter of black male achievement, where the Muhammad Ali Center is and where we gather each year for something we call Rumble Young Man Rumble. And speaking of Rumble Young Man Rumble, the first item on the agenda, I'm thrilled to announce the first Ali Prose Poetry Contest winners. In the spirit of the chant Muhammad Ali, we in the communications team led a poetry contest, and where we asked seniors to submit poems that really lifted up the core principles of Muhammad Ali, principles like giving and principles like dedication and confidence and spirituality and respect. And this was a national campaign, and I'm thrilled to announce that we have two of the top three on the call. And on the call, we have Jawan Bowman from Central High School in Louisville, Kentucky. And we also have Kari Prescott from Wauwatosa West High School from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And so although we probably can't hear you because you're on mute, but let's give a round of applause to the winners. And I will tell you that the first place winner is a gentleman by the name of Mason Gregory, and he is from Irondale, Alabama. He attends Shades Valley High School. He couldn't be on the call today because he is at graduation rehearsal, and he is a graduating a senior. And so we're going to start with you, Jawan Bowman, and please just let us know your name. Well, we know your name, how old you are, and how did you first get involved with writing poetry?
So my name is Jawan Bowman. I attend Central High School, and I grew up around the corner from Muhammad Ali's old house on Grand. So looking at his plaque, he just grew up exactly like I did, and he said strive for greatness, and I decided I might not be a fighter, but I'm really good with words, and so was he. I remember how he used the rhymes. My mama used to tell me how Muhammad Ali was the best rapper that came from Louisville.
All right.
Not only the best boxer.
Great, great. And so you are a graduating senior, is that correct?
I'm graduating May 25th.
All right. Well, on behalf of the nation, I just want to let you know how proud we are of you, and want to hear what are you going to be doing after graduation?
I plan on going to U of L and also continue my club, Postal Society, that started at Central, and hopefully we can be in the community spreading togetherness and also continue to grow as we work with younger people who doesn't know about poetry.
Great, great. And so you're going to attend the University of Louisville?
Yes, sir.
All right, fantastic. So we will be seeing you. Louisville is one of our five core cities. We were talking, Juwan and I, before this call started, and he hasn't had, although he's heard of it, he hasn't had the opportunity to participate in a Rumble Young Man Rumble at the Muhammad Ali Center, and we have guaranteed him a spot for this year's Rumble Young Man Rumble 7. And so Juwan is going to recite his award-winning poem. But before you do that, Juwan, you had mentioned something about striving for greatness, right? And Muhammad Ali talked about that he was the greatest and declared himself the greatest before he even knew it. And just tell us before you read your poem, what does strive for greatness mean to you, Juwan?
Striving from greatness is coming from anywhere, any situation, and managing to still stick to your convictions and principles. It's not just being great financially. It's being great for your community. It's uplifting your people. It's not only bringing yourself up, it's bringing everybody up. Ali was not great just because he won medals at the Olympics. He was great because he was a humanitarian, and I want to strive to be in those footsteps.
Oh, man, you are well on your way. So why don't you tell us what's the title of your poem and then recite it to the listening audience. And if you just joined the call, we are speaking with Juwan Bowman, who is a senior, a graduating senior at Central High School in Louisville, Kentucky. And he is the third-place winner of the Campaign for Black Male Achievement Ali Prose Poetry Contest. And the winners are getting cash awards, scholarship awards. So you are in the money, Juwan. So tell us your poem and recite it for us. What's the title of it?
All right. The title of this is called Feverland, a working title. Peter Pan and his band, living in Neverland. The lost boys always grow, not in age, but in number. Peter Pan's shadow, always on his hip. It has a long barrel and a grip. It always seems like that Peter Pan has too much grip on his lost boys, so much so that they can't breathe. Peter Pan told us we can fly if we believe. The only way we flew was swinging from poplar trees. Peter Pan's shadow, putting lost boys in chokeholds. Peter Pan's shadow, putting lost boys in children's caskets. Peter Pan's shadow, long barrel and grip, can light up the entire world until it's the lost boys falling in a spiral. For some reason, Peter Pan won't say our names, but I hear our names being yelled from the ground. Say our names. We are not lost boys, just lost children to parents who miss us. Why didn't Peter Pan's shadow miss us? Why do the country and media misrepresent us? We just trapped in Neverland. I got too old, and then the police, who's Peter Pan, addressed me as a man.
Wow. You may not be able to hear everyone else, Juwan, but we got folks around the country applauding your poem, and I want to thank you for your conviction and your belief and your courage of stepping out and sharing the art that's in your heart with your community and with the nation. And I'm just going to ask if we can make a deal when we host Rumble Young Man Rumble at the Muhammad Ali Center at the end of November. and you come, will you recite that poem for us?
Yes, I will. I would love to recite that. Could you give me the date for the Young Man Rumble?
Yes, so we will certainly do that. I think it's from November 29th to December 1st. But don't worry, you are on the list. Brother Steve Vassar, the director of Rumble Young Man Rumble, will be in touch with you after this. And just want to thank you and congratulations for being in the winner's circle of the first Ali Pro's poetry contest. And so we are going to leave Juwan and Louisville, Kentucky, and move to Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Never heard of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, but I've heard of it now, and I'd like to introduce Kari Prescott. Are you still with us, Kari?
I am. I'm still here.
Great. So, Kari, tell us how old you are and how you got involved with writing poetry.
Okay. I'm 17 years old. I go to Wauwatosa West High School.
Kari, we may need you to get to a. Can you walk to a quieter place? I think I'm hearing some back noise from you.
Oh, okay.
I know you got your crew with you, probably. Yeah, I can hear you much better. I just got your crew with you so they can hear you recite.
All right, so. All right. I'm 17 years old from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. One of the biggest reasons I like to say that poetry interested me was not only being an African-American in a predominantly white city, but being an African-American going to a predominantly white school since freshman year. So a lot of times I found myself not being able to vocalize most of the feelings or most of the ideas that I had because immediately they get shot down. So when I took that talent of rhyming and using figurative language, it exploded and created a whole other side of me, and then it taught me more about, like, you know, being considerate about different situations. For example, social justice problems, homelessness. Like, I've written poems about so many different things, and it all started just because I wanted to be heard. So.
Wow, that's really impressive and inspiring. How did you hear about the Ali Pros contest?
So there's an we have a new teacher. I don't even want to say teacher, a staff member at my school. Her name is Ms. Monique Liston. She was telling me about the contest for at least 2 months, and honestly, I was afraid that I was not going to be able to compete, so I procrastinated until finally I sat down in front of her, did it, and as I was submitting my application, I wrote the poem as I was submitting. So even when I found out that I won, I had to ask you guys, like, what poem did I submit? Because that's how afraid I was to compete with such an organization like you guys. I wanted to give you something fresh and just for you.
So that's pretty amazing. And I want to thank Monique Liston, who happens to be part of the inaugural class of Building Beloved Community Leadership Fellows. And so, you know, sometimes as young people and even adults, we may be scared to do something. And it's real important to have people in our lives, Kari, that will kind of push us and nudge us to get past our fears. Now, did I hear you say you don't know which poem won? You do know which poem that you're going to recite, right?
Oh, yeah, I know which poem I'm going to recite.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So tell us the title of the poem, and then you are on to share the poem with the rest of the nation.
All right, cool. So is it cool if I give a little brief introduction of the poem also, because it's an imagery poem?
No, you, by all means. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So, go ahead. So then the title of the poem is How the Waves Free. And this title was inspired from, you know, just the idea that when slaves were being brought from Africa to America, a lot of us were lost with the ocean, and we forget that skeletons and souls are still down there. And I don't like to think about it like, okay, they jumped off the slave because they had no choice, or they were disobedient, so they jumped off the slave. No, I like to think about it like, this is how the waves freed innocent people.
Wow.
And, yeah. So here's a poem. It's very short. And here it is. Holy is my God, I'm warmly reminded that all is well. Although all has fallen, again, all will be built. Again, my name will sing freedom and happiness. Shed light on the dark shadows of my monsters. No soul runs free. No soul beats the waves. They crash. Sounds of drums to me, though. My brother cries in languages unknown to my knowledge. Again, they crash. Fearful, I'm sure they planned for me to be, but trained to sustain suffrage to the highest degree. You're seen a warrior. Slow down waves, I beg, for my kaka has fallen into torture. I pray for a source of healing again. My heartbeat becomes the only thing I can hear. As light as the wind, but as strong as a king. Release. I am free.
Wow. Wow, Kari, that's excellent. And really appreciate you sharing the genesis and the thought and the feeling and the spirit behind the poem. And so I want to congratulate both you and Jawan. I want to ask you, how close are you to Milwaukee?
How close am I to Milwaukee?
Yeah, to Milwaukee. How close is Wauwatosa to Milwaukee?
It's about 20 minutes away from Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. So we have a crew that comes to Rumble Young Man Rumble every year from Milwaukee. And you may know Kwabena Nixon and Muib Dyer, who are both poets. Are you familiar with them? They have something that's called Flooding the Hood with Dreams.
I'm not familiar with it at all, but I love to be a part.
Okay, so we're going to connect you with them, and they every year bring some young poets from Milwaukee. And Steve is probably saying, oh, no, Sean is going to invite someone again to Rumble Young Man Rumble when the list is already a waiting list. But I'm here to tell you, Kari, that you're going to get an invitation to attend Rumble Young Man Rumble at the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville at the end of November. And you will have an opportunity, both you and Jawan, to recite your poem. And before that, we're going to connect you with the brothers in Milwaukee so that you can be connected with them. And so for the both of you, so inspired by you, I can relate as a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and discovering poetry and writing poetry and reciting my poetry. I believe it literally saved my life and helped me navigate some disruptive adolescent years and express myself in a positive way. And that's what I heard from the two of you. And so want to thank you, and we look forward to being in touch. And congratulations, and the Campaign for Black Male Achievement is thrilled that we'll be able to make a contribution to a scholarship contribution to your tuition next year. And what school, where are you going after you graduate?
Next fall I'll be attending University of Milwaukee.
Right. Congratulations.
Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Excellent. All right. So we're certainly going to stay connected because Milwaukee is also one of our core cities. So I thank both of you, brothers, and I encourage you to stay on the line if you can to hear what else is happening in the field of black male achievement. And we give you a lot of love and respect, both Jawan and Kari. And we're going to move on to the next item on our agenda. And many of you have heard and have seen on social media.
I have a proper future right now. It's for my scholarship that I just received. Yeah, I told Mr. Green.
Everything is okay. And you can put your phone on mute.
I thought y'all see me out there. That's why I poked my head out.
Do we have Sister Colette Flanagan on the line? Founder of Mothers Against Police Brutality, you may be on mute. I don't know if we have you on the line or not. What we are going to do, and I will check my emails to see what's going on and whether or not you're going to be on the line, but we're going to keep it moving. And I'm going to ask if we have the good Dr. Phyllis Hubbard on the line. No, Dr.
On the line. No, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
So I'd like
to introduce Dr. Phyllis Hubbard, affectionately known as Dr. Phil. She has a few monikers. She's also the body whisperer, and maybe she'll explain what that means later. And she has really elevated, not only for the campaign for Black Male Achievement, but just for the field and movement leaders, the vital importance of health, wellness, and self-care, and reminding us that the most profound act of social justice that we can execute is taking care of ourselves. And Dr. Phil will be leading shortly a spring-summer cleaning webinar, and she is on the line to give us a preview of that. And so I want to welcome you. Where are you in the world? Are you in Oakland, Dr.
Phil? I'm in Oakland. I just got back today. Yep, I'm here in Oakland, California. So, okay, great. I'll take it away then. Okay, thank you. Hey, everyone from around the country. I'm so excited to talk to you a bit about BMA Health and Healing Strategies and the webinar. And so first let me just talk a little bit about what BMA Health and Healing Strategies is. It is an endeavor of the Campaign for Black Male Achievement to improve the health outcomes of black males through self-empowerment and wellness education of leaders in the field of black male achievement. And so I am the only Oakland-based member of the campaign, or employee, I should say, of the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. And we are launching this initiative in Oakland and in Sacramento. But we also have national endeavors as well in our other core cities, which include Oakland, but also Detroit, Louisville, Baltimore, and Milwaukee. And so we're really excited to use our platform to help people improve their health outcomes through strategic communications, through podcast, webisodes, and the spring cleaning webinar is one of the ways that we're reaching out to the nation. And so I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about what's going to be on this webinar. As you know, the seasons change, and when the seasons change, we normally don't change. And because we don't change, some of us get to sniffling and coughing and carrying on, and we're like, what is going on with allergies and so forth? But we actually are supposed to change with the seasons. And so this webinar is going to talk to you a little bit about what it means to help rejuvenate the body. Like, why would you do something called spring cleaning? And so I'll tell you just a little bit, just to give you a preview of the benefits of spring cleaning. From a high-level perspective, it improves digestion and helps to rejuvenate the liver, improves immunity, and helps the body to heal. And that's something that's really important. And I think we don't understand that when the body starts acting up, that's what the body's doing. It's actually trying to rid itself of stuff that we have accumulated in the winter. And so this spring and summer, you know, kind of preparedness webinar is about how to get the body ready for spring cleaning. And actually, if you continue to change with the seasons and know how to take care of the body as the seasons change, then what you'll recognize is that you won't have allergies as much or at all. I don't have allergies at all. I can be in the middle of anything blowing in the wind, and I'm fine. And so how do you reduce inflammation and the root causes of allergies and other issues that arise in the spring? But it's not just about looking at your physical body and what you're eating. It's also about what you need to clean out of your life that has built up from winter. That could be emotional, mental issues. It could be, you know, people, you know, that you need to shift your relationships with. So we'll talk about that. And we'll be talking about it from a naturopathic perspective versus an allopathic perspective. And I'm a naturopathic doctor. And so you can think about naturopathy as using the earth, water, food, you know, ways of thinking about the world, and emotional health, these type of ways of helping the body to heal. And allopathy is more medical doctors, right? What medical doctors do, prescribing medication and diagnosis and treatment. So I'm the person that tells you how to take care of your body in between doctor's visits. I guess that's the best way to describe the work that I do. So if you think about it that way, if you go to the doctor and they say, yes, you have this allergy, now what, right? You go home, and how do you take care of yourself between those visits? And so we're going to talk about it from that perspective. And then the last thing that I wanted to cover is just let you know what exactly we're going to cover in the webinar itself. So we will talk a little bit about basic concepts of spring cleaning and how to think about your health. What I've learned in healing my own body is that I thought a totally different way about healing. And that was the reason why I was sick. And so I think a lot of times we have to just shift how we think about the body and how it heals. We'll talk about the major causes of disease, lack of ease in the body. We'll talk about foods that cause and reduce inflammation. We'll talk about ways to reverse issues that are in the body, and then I will open it up for questions as well. So that's a little bit about the spring cleaning webinar, and I really hope that you all join in. It's going to be the 1st of June, right at this time at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Phyllis. And just before closing, you know, like, there might be folks on the line that's saying, you know, why, you know, why to focus on health and healing? Like, I'm good. I'm all right. Why the importance of this focus?
Well, maybe you're all right, but if you're driving down the street with your family and the person driving on the road next to you is not all right, then they can impact your life, right? So health and healing is important for all of us. You know, you think about every challenge that we have in the world, really, everything that we are struggling with. What is violence connected to? What causes someone to pick up a gun and point it at someone else? That's a lack of emotional and mental balance, right? Why did you choose the cupcake instead of the apple, right? Because you felt like you needed to placate yourself with that food, which is not based on that. It's based on something that you feel is missing. What are you hungry for, right? So health and healing is important for everyone because you have to work with people. And if they show up and they're not bringing their full selves, right, then it's much more difficult to get the work done. And we've all been in situations where our work has been even sabotaged by people who were struggling at home, right, or struggling with an issue, whether it's health as opposed, you know, like a physical health issue, or they had an argument with a spouse and haven't figured out how to detox that situation. So I do believe that everything has kind of a health and healing undercurrent to it, and it's important for us to address that, to bring our best selves to work, to our families, to the work that we're doing in every aspect of our lives.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. And for folks that are listening, we will begin to market and let folks know when the date and time of the webinar, when that will take place, because I don't think we have that yet, right?
It's June 1st, and it's at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, we do have it. June 1st, 1 o'clock Eastern. The Health and Healing Spring Summer Cleaning webinar. Thank you, Dr. Phil. And we are going to move to, I think we do have Sister Colette Flanagan on the line. Are you there, Sister Flanagan?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome. Thank you for joining the Campaign for Black Male Achievement monthly call, and we have leaders from across the country on the line, and really excited to be having this conversation with you. So thank you so much for carving out the time. And so many of the people on the line, thank you, have heard that we are partnering with you and your organization, which we are going to hear some more about, to create Dear Mama Extended Children Letter Series campaign. And article just came out yesterday in The Root describing this partnership, and I'm just going to ask you just to share a little bit about the genesis, the tragic genesis of Mothers Against Police Brutality and that story and what you are engaged in, and then we'll talk some more about the campaign.
Sure, absolutely. And I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. I know we've done a lot of time here, but thank you so much for having me. MAPD was started in 2013 when my own Lisa, Clinton Allen, was killed by a Dallas policeman. Clinton was unarmed. He was shot 7 times, once in the back, underneath his armpits, which is consistent with witnesses saying that his hands were up. Just a brutal killing. The policeman that killed him shouldn't have never, ever been a policeman. He did exactly what his behavior said that he would do, you know, from beating to graduating to killing. During this grievous time, we were grieving Clinton at the same time trying to plan a funeral. You know, I'm an ex-IBM executive and analytical mind, and I just wanted to know what happened. You know, I put my grief on the shelf a minute and say, listen, I need some answers, and we couldn't get any answers. I mean, our city council people wouldn't talk to us. Pastors wouldn't talk to us. So-called activists at the time. Nobody wanted to touch a police killing, and I was just shocked. We couldn't get any hit. We couldn't even get a police report. Every door we went to was just slammed in our face. And so I just started doing research, and I found that, hey, wait a minute, Tobias Mackey was killed before, James Harper. And they were all saying the same cookie-cutter statement. Officer feared for his life, and suspect was on PCP. It's like, well, wait a minute. They're saying the same thing about Clinton. Clinton didn't do hard drugs, you know. And how do you know a person is on PCP? You're doing toxicology reports at the scene of the crime. Just a lot of things didn't make sense to me. So I formed an organization just to talk to moms and to get their stories, and had no idea that we would quickly go national because moms were coming. The need for this vehicle that we eventually built was very much, we started out as a protest organization, and we've moved from protest to very important policy work because we've learned that if you're not at the table, you're not eating. And if they won't let you at the table, then you build another one. But these policies that protect our children and our family must. And so that's where we're very strong with working and getting policy changes, and we have not only in Dallas but across the nation, individually in police departments, because police departments are not governed federally. They're governed locally. So that's what we do. Very excited to be partnering with CBMA on the Dear Mama Letters, something that we've wanted to do. And just did not have the capacity with our work. You know, where do we find these young black men to write these letters? This pain is so important on so many levels. When I just talk about me, I'm just one mom. I'm going to get a letter from a young man that because I will never, ever get another letter from Clinton. And Clinton was a letter writer. I put letters in his lunchbox every day when he was a kid going to school, and I traveled a lot with IBM, and I would, you know, leave him notes and send him things, and so we wrote letters to each other in sticky notes. So these letters are so important on so many levels, and not only that, it leaves, in my mind, seeds of activism for years to come. It allows black men to support black women. And I think that that is so important. And hopefully this experience will be a life experience. Maybe this is something that they will teach their sons to do. Because I always say an injury to one son is an injury to all of our sons. So the mothers that have lost children, and I say sons because I speak to my experience, but I'm not excluding daughters. We know black women get killed by policemen also. I just speak to my experience. But this campaign is so important because we are the extended mothers, and they are our extended sons. So I'm very, very excited to I'm just going to be a huge campaign. It's just going to be a wonderful thing to expand on. And unfortunately, the unfortunate part is that, you know, I think this campaign will always be in need. But the flip side of is that it connects. It connects the extended mothers of black men to their extended sons.
Mm, that's so powerful, and it is unfortunate that we have to say that this a campaign like this and an organization like Mothers Against Police Brutality will always exist. And you said something that was really striking to me in the aftermath of Clinton's murder, that you had to put your grief on the shelf and really begin to become an activist around this issue. And in a campaign like this, maybe you can just speak to the grief. And I know now that the network is over 100 mothers strong, and the sense of collective and belonging to this group, how does that help with the grief and help turn the pain into purpose?
It's just unbelievable. When your child is murdered by a policeman, it breaks the social contract. We know that black mothers, I would say 95% of the time, have the talk with their sons and daughters. Don't get in a car full of, you know, other black children, you know. And if you were stopped by police, you comply. Just make it home. Say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and you just make it home, and we'll deal with it later. So when you teach your children to do that, and then they still kill them, and the way that they kill our children, it's another project that we're working on called What Police Brutality Really Looks Like. And when you see these autopsy pictures, you know, we have to start asking ourselves, when did the officer stop fearing for his life after the first shot, the second shot, the third, the fourth shot, the fifth shot? Because these bodies are riddled with bullets. And so we have to understand these mothers and fathers have to, this is the last image that they see, you know, of their child. And it's so much brokenness, and it's such a betrayal on such a deep level. And then to not be able to have any support, it breaks up your family, it breaks up marriages, the pain is so debilitating. And I always say it actually has changed my DNA. I am not the person that I was before, nor will I ever be. So to have someone to reach out to you and say, you know, I love you. I love you for having Clinton. I love you for this fight. You know, I hope that my mother never have to go through this. And it's just having that letter from another black son is something that most mothers thought, listen, I'm never, ever going to hear my son's voice. I've talked to moms before, and they say, you know, even I've done it. If I find something of Clinton, you know, I hurry up and put it in a vacuum sealed bag. And, you know, there are moments, and I go open it so I can smell him. You know, that letter is so important because it's something that offers healing properties. Again, I'm just very excited for the program. Partnership.
Right, and we're excited also because through the campaign for Black Male Achievement Network, we are engaging, and I'm hoping that we will break the 100 letter goal. But we're really interested in finding ways and creating platforms where we can do a better job of engaging black men in the movement and in the support of black women. And, you know, you highlighted how important that is. And, you know, our narrow angle lens and point of departure of this work is, of course, improving the life outcomes of black men and boys, but the wide angle lens is one of community building and is inclusive of men and women. And so I want to just thank you for giving us this opportunity to engage the men in our network. And so if there is a brother on the line right now listening and maybe saying, well, yeah, what's a letter going to do? And I don't have the time to do the letter. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Can you just reiterate to that person that's on the line right now that's thinking of whether or not they will put pen to paper or finger to keyboard and do a letter? What would you say to them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would say find that it takes you to flip through channels to find out what you would like to watch for TV tonight. You could have written a wonderful note. It's not a letter. A letter is a letter of the heart. But sometimes a note can be just as powerful. I am thinking about you. I, you know, was giving your name. I'm sorry about your loss. Please stay strong. You know, I'm sending love. I'm sending hugs. And I wish you all success in obtaining justice for your son, for your daughter. I mean, just even those words, a note can become a letter. I would encourage to take time to write the letter. And we're not talking about a three-page letter. And some people may write three pages. That's fine, mm-hmm. too. But a note can become a letter. And you can go to your website. The landing page is there where they can get more information. They can write it right there. Go to mothersagainstpolicebrutality.org. And I encourage the young men on this call, not only do that, but copy these links and send them and challenge your friends to do this. Because let me tell you, if something happens to you, your mother will never be the same. And this is something that we want no mother or father to have to ever experience. So they play a very integral part in healing, and it's so important that they get involved. And not only once. If you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, write a letter, write a note. There's plenty of moms to go around. So if you've written it once, you can write 5 or 10. You know, it doesn't matter.
That's great. And I don't know if you were on in the beginning of this call. We had two young men, Kari Prescott and Jawan Bowman, who were winners of our Ali Prose Poetry Contest. And I just want to say to Kari and Jawan, if you're still on, even if it's not a letter, you can write a poem to a mom that has lost a child through police brutality and part of this campaign, right? It does not necessarily have to be a letter. It could be a poem as a letter. And, I just want to thank you, sister, for your courage, and your ability to see and push past the pain of losing your son, to be an activist. And I thought also what was really critical from moving from protest to policy and policy change around issues of policing and accountability is paramount. And so I just think that is so important. And I want to say that we're excited, the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, to do this partnership, the letter writing partnership. But this is not the end of our relationship. This is the beginning. And we will continue to find ways and create ways that we can be supportive of each other in this. And so if you're on the line and just hearing about this, go to the Campaign for Black Male Achievement's website, blackmaleachievement.org, and get all the information. The deadline for the letters our 11:59 p.m. tomorrow, Friday evening. And I'm just going to ask you, Sister Colette, just to close out with just a word of inspiration to the listeners before we move on. And just thank you again for carving out the time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I just want to say that this is just such a great opportunity to hug a mother, to when you see like Jordan Edwards that was killed here last week, that family is in turmoil. They're in pain. And I know so many black men and boys feel helpless a lot. What can I do? You know, what can I say? This is what you can do. This is what you can do, and all it will cost you is 5 or 10 minutes of your time and more if you want. But the most important thing is to recruit others to do the same, because it builds a nucleus of support for these moms. And when these moms become warriors and fighters for justice, Clint used to call me his pit bull with lipstick. When you can take a mom that has lost a child and turn them into a warrior for justice, you just have to remember she's fighting for your life too. So it is so important to support and uplift these moms. And I just, again, I'm just so glad that we've partnered with CBMA, and I challenge you young black brothers to do it, not just for yourself. Get the word out and have other young black men to do it as well.
Thank you, Colette Flanagan, founder of Mothers Against Police Brutality, and our prayers are with you, and we're just going to just ask you to keep pressing and keep blessing in the mission that you're on. Thank you, and look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Absolutely.
We are going to.
Thank you so much. I
thank you.
It.
We're going to move on to many of you have heard that the Campaign for Black Male Achievement just recently announced its inaugural class of the Building Beloved Community Leadership Fellows, 24 dynamic leaders, men and women from across five of our Promise of Place cities. And I want to introduce Lucia Maddox, who is Manager of Organizational Development and Health here at the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. And Lucia is leading the fellowship, and she is going to give an overview and give us an opportunity to hear from a few of the fellows that are on the line. So, Lucia, you're with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
All right, great.
All right, appreciate it, John. So thank you so much for having me on. And I've talked a little bit about the fellowship in past monthly calls, but for those who might have not had a chance to hear about it, I can give a recap that, as Sean mentioned, this is the inaugural cohort for the Building Beloved Community Leadership Fellowship. Thanks to support from the American Express Foundation, we had the opportunity to bring 24 fellows on a year-long leadership development journey. And Sean mentioned that most of them are coming from our Promise of Place cities, and those cities are Detroit, Oakland, Milwaukee, Louisville, and Baltimore. And then because our kickoff is actually taking place next month in Greensboro, we have the pleasure of bringing on two fellows from Greensboro as well. And this whole year-long leadership development opportunity is really an opportunity for emerging leaders in the black male achievement field to deepen and broaden their expertise in leadership, whether they work in education or in arts, work in government, or what have you. And so we selected a diverse cohort to come together to be able to learn from one another and then bring those skill sets back to their home communities. So I alluded to the fact that we'll be going to Greensboro, North Carolina next month, and during that 3-day gathering, the fellows will get an opportunity to spend half of their time with the Center for Creative Leadership, which has it's an organization that has a global reach, and one of their offices is based in Greensboro. And then the second half of their time will be spent with the Beloved Community Center, which also has deep roots in the Greensboro community, has been really active in the civil rights movement all the way through the present day in the grassroots orientation of leadership. So the fellows will have an opportunity to get a balance of both styles of leadership as well as I mentioned, learning from each other to then take back to their community and stay in touch. We're going to cultivate opportunities for them to stay in touch throughout the course of the year as they build upon those skills. So as Sean mentioned, I have the honor of introducing a few fellows who are able to join us, and I'll let them speak a little bit about their work, their title, what city they're based in, as well as what they might be looking to get out of this fellowship in terms of their own leadership development. So without further ado, I'll introduce all of them and then go one by one. We have Ashanti Branch with us, who is the founder and executive director of Ever Forward, Siempre Adelante, that's based in Oakland. We also have Monique Liston, and you just heard from one of her students earlier for the Ali Prose Poetry Contest, so that's a fabulous synergy there. And she's based in Milwaukee, an owner-consultant with a Deroute Consulting Cooperative. We also have Mateo Blue, who's a founder, director, and community artist based in Baltimore. He's founded the Blue Art Foundation and the So What Else, Inc. And last but not least, we have Quan Nellums, a teacher within the Detroit Public Schools Community District. So thank you again, fellows, for joining us. And I'll start with you, Ashanti. We could do the same for all four, talking a little bit about your work and what you're looking forward to from this fellowship.
Yeah, thank you, Lucia. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, great. My name is Ashanti Branch. I'm from Oakland, California. I'm the founder of the Ever Forward Club. Ever Forward Club is a mentoring program for young men in middle school and high school. We support young men through the social-emotional development and leadership, providing safe space for young men to come together, build a brotherhood, but also get to talk about the stuff that as young men, most of our young men don't get a chance to talk about, a chance to explore all the emotions that we go through and that we feel, but that often in our communities are told that they're not manly. And so based on society's hyper-masculine narrative, what it means to be a man, our boys sometimes have to act like they're men before they're actually of men age. And so what we do in Ever Forward, we provide a mentoring program at individual schools. It's basically school-based. We work with teachers, staff members at the school to provide a weekly meeting for those young men to come together and have their conversations, have their talks, talk about the stuff that's going on. I mean, it provides a space for them to, when they're not in their mentoring meeting, to know that they have a person on campus that they can go to who can hear them, who can see them, who uplifts them, who pushes them to be their best. And so I think I'll stop there, and then maybe there'll be more questions. Yes?
Great. Thank you, Ashanti. And talking a little bit, you mentioned a little bit about coming together for the fellowship, and is there anything else that might be in meeting the other fellows or bringing that back home?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Thank you for asking that. So I'm really excited to connect with other folks who are in this work. You know, when I started the Ever Forward Club in 2004, I didn't know what I was doing. I was a first-year teacher. I was failing these young men in my class. I mean, I was there every day. I was prepared, but these young men weren't learning from me. And I took it as a personal responsibility to help them learn in my class. And so when I brought them together, I was just a teacher trying to teach math, but I had to do much more to get them ready to learn the math. And so as I'm meeting other fellows and other people in this work, you know, I didn't go to school to learn how to be a leader of a nonprofit. So, you know, I'm an engineer by trade, civil engineer. And I became a teacher. And so there's so many things that I need to learn in terms of my leadership and to deepen my expertise around leading. But I have a heart for this work. You know, like if I could spend my time all day with young men and support them, that would be great. But I desire to have a bigger impact. So I need to build my skills in order so that I can have a bigger reach. And so I'm excited to just learn. I'm excited for the 360-degree report that's going to be done. I'm just excited to learn more about how I can be more effective and how we can scale and grow our program to support thousands of young men around this country. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ashanti. Next up, Monique, are you on the line with us? You might be on mute if you're on or we're able to join.
Okay. So I think I see her. I'm going to take her off. Monique, can you hear us now? I took somebody off mute, but I guess from Milwaukee, but it was not her.
Okay. Mateo, how about you? Are you on the line with us?
Mateo? He was on earlier.
Yes, I'm here. I just had it on mute.
Perfect. Great. So thank you so much,
Mateo,
for joining.
Give me 1 second, please. I'm stepping out of this restaurant. I don't want it to be too much noise, please. but I thank you all for having me. And it's been a blessing just to be a part of this phone call and once again get the energy from this group. Definitely want to step out here to respect the call. 1 second, please. Okay, so Mateo Blue, as said before, mostly I'm an artist. I'm a professional artist. I'm based out of Baltimore, Maryland. Outside of that, to correct what was said earlier, I'm a founder of Blue Art Foundation. Within Blue Art Foundation, one of our strengths is within working with other nonprofits. Long time ago, I've learned that within the leadership role within, especially here in Baltimore, it was more of a stronger move or positioning, linking up with other nonprofits and providing the best of what I can do versus just trying to do everything. So within that, I do work with So What Else, within that nonprofit and that format. Outside of that, the actual funding and designing of curriculum. And that's a lot that I can say, but I really don't want to just take over this phone call type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, maybe two follow-up questions is, one, who is your main audience in the work that you do with the foundation that you founded? And then what you might be looking forward to coming out of the fellowship or through the process, going through the fellowship.
Can you repeat the beginning of what you just said, please?
Sure. I was curious to know, or if you could share with the folks on the call who your main audience is with the Blue Art Foundation, if it's men of all ages, women and men, and then secondarily, what you're looking forward to from the fellowship.
As far as the audience, it's mostly underprivileged youth, but within that, we've expanded to focusing more on the entire family, because at the end of the day, you can do a lot within a certain amount of time with a kid, but they go into and recycle into the same neighborhoods, the same environments, or the same situations at home that aren't as productive to their overall strategy for where you want them to go in life. So with that, we have KOS, which is the Knowledge Itself workshop that's going on, which literally focuses on each level and tier of that, as far as the children to the teachers to the actual parents, and creating different situations where it's knowledge-based at the same time, a level of escape and a level of balance to the daily life. Far as what I expect to receive from this, honestly, within my own journey and coming from this city, I never had any level of mentorship or real connection to anything outside of just what I came across surviving. And I feel like this is a strong, stable group and strong support group that comes with a lot of positive feedback from other groups that I felt like it's worth investing in to see where it goes. It's not so much of what I have set that I want to get from this. It's just putting myself in a position that I can get as much as I can to bring back to Baltimore City.
Great. Thank you so much, Mateo, for sharing that with us. Next up, Quan, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining. And, yeah, we would be curious to know a little bit more about what you do teaching in Detroit, as well as what you're interested in pursuing through this fellowship.
Okay. I'm a teacher in the Detroit Public Schools Community District. This is my 14th year as an educator. Like I think one of the guys just said, I actually started off within the field of material science engineering, but I spent the summer serving at one of the public schools here, and I was in charge of creating the all-male mentoring program known as Harambe, after-school program. And so for 3 years I did that as a volunteer, and I made the choice to actually enter into the field of education because I love working with the students so much. And so, like I said, I've been teaching for 14 years. For the past 7 years, I've been teaching at Frederick Douglass Academy for Young Men, which is the only all-male public school in the state of Michigan. In addition to being a teacher at the school, I also run a program known as Lyricist Society. In this program, we look at the power and the influence and the genius of various facets of black culture. Particularly, we look at the role of hip-hop in the classroom and how hip-hop actually gives young people a voice. And so these young men at my school, they create music. They create music videos. These past few years, we've been learning just the art of videography and sound recording. And they've created music videos, award-winning music videos. They won an Emmy last year for a video that they did on just the whole black-on-black crime and going-black crime. They made videos, music about social issues, manhood, scholarship, altruism, so school pride. And so what I look forward to getting from the experience in Greensboro is just, you know, skills to help develop the program Lyricist Society, but also to develop just the things that go on at the school. It's been an all-male school. I look forward to developing relationships to enhance the impact on the black males that I serve in, within my school and the overall community in Detroit.
Great. Thank you so much, Quan. I appreciate you sharing that.
One last thing. If you guys want to check out like the productions that these young men have put together, you can look on lyricistsociety.com. You can check these guys out.
Great. And that's actually a great thank you for that plug. But there's also every fellow that's in the program is listed on our website with, along with their social media information, and some have some related links. So that's a good reminder, Quan, that for anybody on the phone call right now, if you want to learn more about any one of our 24 fellows, you can go on to our site at blackmaleachievement.org and search the Building Beloved Community Leadership Fellowship to find out more about the fellows. And before we wrap this session, I just wanted to check back to see if Monique was able to join us. Looks like not, but thank you to Ashanti, Mateo, and Quan for joining us and talking a little bit more about your backgrounds and what you're looking forward to. So I'll hand it back to you, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucia, and I want to thank everyone for joining the call. We have a tradition at the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, part of our organizational culture. We call it Thank You Thursdays, when we challenge each other to send thank yous to colleagues, folks in the field, at least five on Thank You Thursday, whether it's by card, email, social media, smoke signal, or whatever, just to show our appreciation and gratitude for all the amazing support that we get. And so I just wanted to close this call with a resounding Thank You Thursday to everyone that joined the call, but also all the participants, you know, Kari and Jawan, two young men that just really kicked us off today. I often ask the question, how do you quantify hope in the field of black male achievement? And if you were not on when they were on, make sure that you listen to the recording when we release it. I want to certainly thank Colette Flanagan for her vision, her courage, and her partnership with the founding of Mothers Against Police Brutality. Please connect with your network. Let's get these 100 letters to these mothers by tomorrow evening, 11:59. Reach out to your network. Write your letter. As you heard from Colette, it has a transformational impact, and this is a way for black men to engage in this movement of Mothers Against Police Brutality. Thank you, Dr. Phil, and a big shout-out to all of the fellows, the Building Beloved Community Leadership Fellows. Looking forward to seeing you all in Greensboro next month. Ashante, Monique, although Monique wasn't on the call, she was represented by one of her students, and I think she was on the call earlier. Maybe she had to tend to something. Mateo Blue and Quan Nellums, and Quan, I've had an opportunity to see your work up front, and looking forward to building with you. And so just want to thank you all and remind everyone that, you know, there's no Calvary coming to save the day in our communities, that each and every one of you are the iconic leaders that we have been waiting for. You're the curators of the change that we're all looking to see in this nation and in our communities. And this, we want to thank you for your engagement and your support. And so take care, everybody.
Hey, thank you.
I have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings and thank you.
So work with my food plus the black market, achieving department planning. In Milwaukee office. I saw Milwaukee house the place. Milwaukee house. Milwaukee house the place in Hamager. Milwaukee house the place in Strategy Table. I saw that one. Leaders in the Fellows program. hockey, excuse me, Milwaukee, sports. And they're supporting NPS, the Federal Team of Interest at NPS. Yeah. Registration campaigns, that's what they've been talking to, the Boston Marks, Coalition, yeah, four focuses, policy advocacy, behavior change, policy advocacy, behavior change, family engagement, family, youth engagement, American, and continue to get development. Continue to clean up and development.
Maxwell is performing at the 2017 All-State Family Reunion this Labor Day weekend. For one night only, Pretty Wings. Right by the ocean. Whenever, wherever, whatever. The only way to see Maxwell is for your family and friends to be at the 2017 All-State Family Reunion. Package holders are guaranteed tickets to every concert happening every night. This Labor Day weekend, see Maxwell live only at the All-State Family Reunion at the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. Go to blackamericaweb.com for details. Call 407-248-9191 to book it. Maxwell at the All-State Family Reunion. Be there.
We're going to be organizing.
The night as the jury was denied. liberating, and I can't imagine the strength of show and your father and mother by watching you walk out of that courtroom last night.
Yes, sir, Reverend Allen, thank you so much for just being here for us and standing with us every step of the way through it all. You know, I really have no words. I'm still in disbelief, you know. We always talk about a justice system and, and giving all the facts, and all the facts were in place. You know, everything was there for the jury to come back with a guilty verdict. So I really don't understand, and everybody is talking about how, you know, the jury has spoken, you know, the system has spoken, but, you know, I don't accept it because, remember, slavery was legal.
Mm-hmm.
What if Harriet Tubman would have just said it is what it is and accepted that? What if Rosa Parks would say, you know what, I'm just going to accept it. I'm just going to stay on the back of the bus. What if Martin Luther King would have said it is what it is, system? And so we decided to wake up this morning with our heads on high, and we went and we stood and we served notice to the city of Tulsa. And we let them know we're not going to just let it be. It is what it is. We're not going to just accept this. And so we're continuing to fight. I called for the termination of Sergeant Dave Walker, who investigated and interrogated Betty Shelby. He allowed her to look at the video. And prior to her even giving her authentic statement, he violated ethical protocol. And so he aided in a cover-up. And so we're calling for the termination of Sergeant Walker. And also, the people police is reevaluating if Officer Shelby can come back on the court. We're requesting that he not be able to get on the streets and help Oklahoma, our community, with a gun and service us because he's dangerous. And it's been shown, her children, they've stated it, you know, her ex-husband has stated it, and everybody knows her temperament is not fit to serve and protect the people of our community. And so we're going to fight on, Reverend Al. We're not going to rest until we get full justice. Until we change and form a corrupt system that really kept us oppressed here in South Oklahoma.
Well, we are with you, and you know I'll be there every step of the way, whatever rally y'all have. Let me know I'm on the plane right away. Attorney Croft, is there any legal remedy for the family going forward?
Attorney DeMario Solomon Simmons about to speak about what we about to do there.
Okay, that's my man. Everybody got a man there. That Mario is my man.
All right, Reverend Al. We are looking forward to moving forward to the case and also for these reforms to come into place here real soon. We're looking forward to being able to take our case against the city of Tulsa and Betty Shelby and the civil rights lawsuit and the wrongful death lawsuit, because at the end of the day, we need some form of justice, criminal justice system that's failed at a good point, but not only justice, we can receive the civil justice and reform. And that's what we plan with the help of God and you and all the thousands of supporters right here in Tulsa and in Oklahoma and this nation. We plan to do that. It's going to be a marathon and a sprint, but we're ready to do it.
Well, I want to say again to you and to your parents, Tiffany, that we're with you. And, you know, it's the war, and sometimes in war you lose battles. But you charge here because what you just said, what you just preached, you're right. If those ahead of us had given up because they lost one battle, we wouldn't be anywhere. So we just got to take a bad round and keep going to the end of the fight. The fight's not over, and we're not going to let Terry, and we're not going to let y'all down.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. We love you.
We love you. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Crump. And thank you, DeMario. We will certainly be waiting for the next instructions and the next entries into the civil case as well as the move around Betty Shelby in terms of her being taken off the court and not back on the street and the investigation.
Having a jacket.
Thank you very much. So you heard, you heard right there from both sides.
I'm going to introduce some of you. Sorry to interrupt, but Jeff Goldman, Tom Moore.
Not a very good picture.
And it's Jeff Furry.
Jeff Furry, right.
Website was how I first noticed that I was spelling Jeff. I spelled on the website, whatever. I'm Black Avalon. Tom is in the process of relocating to the So Tom majored in psychology. But then went into different kind of work and now wants to go get a master's at the UWM in social work.
So you've been driving your car for a few years now. It's old enough to make you a little nervous, but we'd like to hold off buying a new one as long as possible. As your manufacturer's warranty expires, what if you lost your transmission today? Would it wipe out your savings or max out your credit card? Truth is, you may gamble yourself deeper into debt. Protect yourself from big, unexpected car repair bills with an affordable vehicle protection plan from Coco Warranty. It's easy and affordable. You pick the coverage and even choose your own repair shop. When it happens, and it will, your plan pays your mechanic directly so you don't have to. Roadside service, towing, and rental car benefits are included, all for a fraction of what you pay out of pocket. Try it carefree with a simple phone call.
Maxwell is performing at the 2017 All-State Family Reunion at Yesterday Weekend. For one night only, pretty well.
Live entertainment, the Bruce City Corvette Club, and lots of fun. Also, you will have a chance to
with the grand prize of $860 at the end of the event. So pack up the kids and plan to attend the WNOV Community Resource Fair Saturday, June 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club, 3000 North Chestnut Boulevard. This is your chance to get your family on the right track. This event is free and open to the public. WNOV 860, the voice is bringing you something new.
It's not what you're used to.
The midweek show featuring Milwaukee's own Michelle Bryant.
If you think for 5 minutes I don't have an opinion, please, you better ask somebody. Yeah, it's about to go down. 2 days a week,
Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm losing
fast. I'm losing fast. Talk radio for the enlightened and those who can see. Whether tapping the elephant in the room, diving into key issues, or just dipping the teeth on hot topics of the day,
lean back
and join the Midweek Flush with Michelle Ryan.
One of the things I thought about the Career Foundation. I want to get back to the police policy in a minute. You just heard the conversation with Dr. Clifton Cresson.
So what is Dr. Cresson?
But I want to go back to
her understanding with what is Dr.
and how that supporting
borders large
of President Trump and your policy of first. And you dig deeper in these things, you are even the most. What are the legal options that people have in the Congress and the Senate in dealing with the alleged and real association, criminal and otherwise, of Mr. Trump and his associates with Russia and how they've handled it thus far?
because we know there's impeachment that can happen. We know that censorship can happen. We know there's a special prosecutor. I mean, what are the options? What are the kinds of things that can happen that we need to be looking at?
Let me first say that I'm glad you're asking about options because impeachment, the reason we're beginning to talk more and more about impeachment is that it's not a criminal legal proceeding. The fact of the matter is, unfortunately, that if Trump did disclose, as he admits to, classified information, he has the prerogative, the right to do that as the sitting president. He can unclassify classified information if he deems it is in the best interest of the U.S. government. So there may be no crime there. His asking Comey whether he is the subject of investigation is barring the court. Those two activities look like the obstruction of justice, but in both instances, you have to be able to prove intent. And while it looks clear-cut to us, it might not be in a court of law. And so we don't necessarily, at this particular point of the investigation, not having yet been completed, have definitive or conclusive any real intent, even though it looks like it, to actually find guilty of obstruction of justice because he intended to obstruct justice and then would be criminal in nature. And so people are talking more and more about impeachment now because impeachment is not necessarily a finding of guilt. It's the first step in moving towards the finding of guilt. To make it clear, impeachment doesn't mean removal from office. It doesn't mean that if a president is impeached, which many people believe, it doesn't mean that if a president is impeached, that he or she is automatically removed from office. Remember, President Clinton was impeached in 1998, but he still stayed in office. And that's because impeachment is not an actual finding of guilt or conviction. Impeachment is the charge of misconduct made against a public official, made against the president, the vice president, or a federal judge. Make it simple, I think of it very much like indictment in everyday court proceedings. So you think of it like a charge in a criminal case where a judge arraigns a defendant or a grand jury hears charges and then decides to indict. Impeachment is like that. It's like the House coming together and then deciding that there is reason to believe that the president engaged in inappropriate activities and then deciding to indict. And what happens in this instance is that, as Representative Al Green said, any member of Congress, he can call for the impeachment of the president, or based on an investigation, an independent investigation, much like what we're going to see with former FBI Director Robert Mueller. An investigation can be done, and then the findings call for the House of Representatives to move towards impeachment. What then happens is the House Judiciary Committee takes it up, reviews the evidence, writes up the articles of impeachment, and then the House has to vote on it. So a simple majority of the House, out of 435 people, we're talking about 218 people, have to vote for impeachment. They then impeach the president and they get the vote, but he still doesn't get removed from office. It then goes to the Senate, and the Senate considers the impeachment. They hold a trial where the president is actually put on as a defendant. And the House Judiciary, which wrote up the articles of impeachment, acts as the prosecution. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court acts as the judge, and the Senate is the jury. At the conclusion of the trial, only if two-thirds of the majority of the Senate, that's 60 out of 100 members of the Senate, vote to remove the president from office, is he then removed. And so, that's a big...
So in order to remove him, FNP, you need two-thirds of the Senate, which is 60 votes.
Absolutely, because you need a simple majority, 218 out of 435 House members to impeach him.
Right.
And then it's got to go to the Senate for trial. To actually then have two-thirds of the Senate removal. And the challenge that we have, when you think about it, we can talk about what the basis would be, because with respect to impeachment, it's got to be for treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And President Ford, several years ago, before he even became president, when he was in the House and they were looking to remove a judge from office, he said, you know what, we can define high crimes in this community as anything we see fit, and that actually is kind of how it goes.
So these things could be considered high crimes and misdemeanors if they determine it to be.
Absolutely. Obstruction of justice, trying to squash or hinder an investigation. If the House, wants to, it can consider this looking like high crimes and misdemeanors, announcing high crimes and misdemeanors. But the problem that we have at this particular point is that we've got a Republican-controlled House. We've got a Republican-controlled Senate. We've got 238 Republicans and only 193 Democrats in the House. We would need 25 Republicans to vote along with all 193 Democrats to impeach the president. Then in the Senate, we only have 52. We only have 48 Democrats compared to 60 Republicans. We'd need 60 senators to vote to remove him from office. And what we're seeing right now is that although there are a few Republicans who are saying, you know, this could be impeachable, what he's done here, most Republicans have not abandoned the president at this point. And so, you know, what needs to happen is we need to put the pressure on, just as Representative Al Green was saying, as you said, on our representatives in the House, whether they be Republican or Democrat, to tell them that they've got to move towards impeachment, because this does look like he had intentions of obstructing justice, trying to undo or squash the investigation into his dealings and his campaign's dealings with Russia. And so it does look like there was an intent to abuse his power. So we've got to put the pressure on to do that. The other thing we should note is that impeachment and removal proceedings can take a very long time. So the only other hope that we have is that this does drag out. We don't want it to drag out, but if it does drag out, then we've got to move in 2018 midterm elections to shift the control. To move control, to shift it from the Republicans to the Democrats. All 435 House seats are up for election in 2018. It can be done. 33 of the 100 Senate seats are up for election. It can be done.
Now, the fact that the special prosecutor, Mueller, can subpoena anything right away, it could also scare and create a climate that could make some Republicans that are facing the election next year get all the way away from Trump, because there's a lot of stuff like your tax and other things start going public because the special prosecutor can't subpoena this stuff. And some of this stuff can leak out. It could change the climate in the Congress, so they are going to have to deal with the serving themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. If it begins to appear, it's a big difference. A lot of people are saying that Comey's, what do they call it, the MemCon, the memos that he would write after certain conversations, and certain conversations where he wanted to memorialize what had been said in those conversations. What people are saying is that what we've seen already is probably just like the tip of the iceberg, that there is probably more there. And so if more and more is leaked, and Republicans begin to feel that they cannot survive by standing with the president, then they will begin to call for impeachment themselves. And we have heard Republicans already saying that this may be the grounds for impeachment. But the thing that we have to be careful about is that other Republicans and Democrats, even some Democrats have said, let's not move so quickly because we want to make sure that it does appear objective and it doesn't appear like it's a Democrat versus a Republican.
Yeah.
Let this special counsel go forward, do what he has to do, do it as expeditiously as he possibly can, bring this information forward, and then we can act on impeachment.
All right, let's take a break. I'm going to the phones, 1-877-532-5797, 1-877-532-5797. Shotgun, keeping it real. Be right back. Thank you.
I'm Ebony McMorris, former Fox News chairman, CEO Roger Ailes, who died at the age of 77. Ailes was controversial in life and remains fully dead.
Fox News chairman Rupert Murdoch said in a statement, Roger Ailes executes the big idea in a way no one else. Sean Hannity, one of Alan Ailes' nurtured at Fox, who did he have changed the political and media landscape for better? Gabriel Sherman, also with the Ailes biography, the loudest voice in the room, and also a genius and a tragic figure who invited the sector. Power. Even in death, the sector expectations that ended Ailes' career at Fox on his legacy. Douglas Ridger, who represents 21 current and former employees, said sudden death will make it hard for Fox's future.
The president is blasting the name of a special counsel to oversee the federal probe of potential collusion between his campaign and Russia.
In a pair of great tweets, the president says it's the single greatest witch hunt politician in American history. Noting a special counsel is not made to look at the Clinton campaign or Obama administration. Like what he calls all of the illegal acts, the Justice Department was under intense Democratic pressure to choose independent investigators over objections from Republicans like House Oversight Chairman Jason Chafee.
I have not seen evidence of actual collusion, and so it does beg the question of why do they need a special prosecutor? What are they actually trying to prosecute?
Still, since there is a prosecutor, Chase told NBC's Meet the Press, former FBI Chief Robert Mueller, will do his job. Sagar Nagami at the White House.
Protests are peaceful in Tulsa, Oklahoma, after police officers were acquitted in the shooting of an unarmed black man. Officer Betty Shelby was found not guilty on manslaughter yesterday after testifying that she shot Terrence Crutcher because she thought he was reaching for a gun. After the trial, protesters blocked the street, bringing out police and riot gear on this news. For all the news for the protesters, go to news1.com. I'm Amy McMahon.
Attention, are you one of over 6 million unlucky people who are about to receive or have already received a large surprise tax bill from the IRS? A tax you had no idea you need to own? A 1099-C tax surprise? Did your credit card, mortgage, or auto finance company settle or write off any of your debts and stick you with a tax bill? And now the IRS is demanding you pay taxes on debt you didn't pay in the first place? And no one mentioned you'd be responsible for paying those taxes? If you couldn't pay off the debt, what makes the IRS think you can pay these taxes? Now you have the IRS breathing down your throat, and it's not your fault. You need a tax do-over. You need to call People's Tax Relief. We can stop the madness, so you can breathe easier. At People's Tax Relief, we can keep the IRS off your back and remedy all IRS or state tax problems. Even if you only owe back taxes, we can get you back on track. Call People's Tax Relief today for your tax do-over at 800-966-3600. That's 800-966-3600. Call 800-966-3600. 800-966-3600.
I believe in you. Just for a simple word. If your child will meet, they need me more. When you become a child sponsor with Save the Children, you're saying, I believe in you. You're worthy of good nutrition, quality health care, and education. I believe in you. Just for a simple word. That can bring hope, that can change a life. Because when you believe in a child, you empower them.
I want to call them up. I don't want to call them up.
Sponsor that SaveTheChildren.org today. And tell a child in need, I believe in you.
Thank you.
Sunday. Probably should be good. Take the base landing grid.
WNOV 860 and W293CS 106.5.
No one. Thank God that many of them called when they were burning crosses and lynching people. Is that the true government? When are we going to start American history? Do we start it at the American Revolution? People that founded the country with slave owners? Or do we start it when Abe Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation when we still had slaves? I mean, when do we get to this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break the Constitution?
The open forum is now open to you. But you've got to keep it real. With the rubber.
I'm your host, Reverend Al Sharpton. Jennifer Jones Austin is our co-host. Jennifer, let's go to the phone and take some calls. Let's start in Baltimore. WOLD Stone that's coming to Larry Young. Let's talk to Fred. Fred, you're keeping it real with Jennifer Jones Austin in the house.
Hey, Larry Young. Miss Jones is Austin. I want to thank you first for joining us to see this for this. So we don't keep dragging ourselves around about the name of the song out of Austin soon. I want to ask a question, though, the other day I'll talk to the Chief of Oklahoma. Does the federal, can the Department of Justice still bring civil rights charges to us?
Yeah, they could. Now, we don't think they will under session, but yes, they certainly could.
Why do you say you don't think they will under session?
Because Sessions has made it very clear that in police matters, that is not going to be a priority, that they are rallying around police things, the police reform and police cases, just the morale of police. That's been his statement. And when he met with us that week.
Well, I remember when the case first happened, about a month had gone by, they hadn't arrested the young lady that shot the guy before me there. And they asked, during the campaign, they asked Hillary Clinton, they asked Trump what they think about it. And then they had the people say that we need to have a better conversation, white people got to have a better conversation. But they asked Trump what he said, he thought that she should be arrested. And the next day she wasn't, she was charged.
Well, that's alone. First of all, she was charged about 8 days later. And I have never heard anybody until you say that Donald Trump said a police officer.
I had him in that ring with the mayor's cabinet. What's going on with you? Huh? Where are you going? Oh, it's good. What's going on? Nothing? That's right. I was gonna run over.
Come up here.
I gotta run. Our King's graduation starts at 6, so I gotta do that first. But he said y'all go to 10.
Nine.
Where is it at?
The Boston. Nice man.
It's like $20 in it. He told me it was tickets.
Next week.
Oh, okay.
Six and National.
Yeah, it is. Okay. That's after there. After the graduation. Yeah, that's my favorite. Turn up. All right.
But that is not charging and arresting a police officer. That's what she said. After he said that, she was charged. She was charged with an 8 day of the incident, or 9 days, the more, wasn't a month. And I doubt very seriously, because it had anything to do with him saying, remove her. If they wasn't going to remove her, they would have had department of charges to remove her from the force, not indict her by a prosecutor. So try that on another show, because I'm not going to let you just tell a story. Come on, Fred. Let's respect our intelligence. Bernadette in Chicago, Southside WBON 1690, home of the governor, Cliff Kelly. You're keeping it real with Al Sharpton.
So you're keeping it even realer. Reverend Al Sharpton, Sharpton, that's what I called you some years ago. I was so impressed by your cohort, Jennifer Jones Austin, as she described the process for impeachment. And I lived through Nixon's impeachment and the first black president's impeachment, so on and so forth. And it's crazy. I wanted to talk about the list of voting by black people and others who said, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters. And it made me think of the physics, I think of the physics principle, every action there is an equally opposite reaction. And it's almost like those who said they weren't going to vote because they didn't like Hillary, they didn't like this other person, well, I'm sure they don't like what they see now. I'm not happy about Trump's possible impeachment. I'm not happy about his presidency. I don't want the country to go through that he's putting us through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unthinkable that, to me, that he would give those confidential documents to some Russians to read. It's like treason. And I also wanted to point out something else. When the stuff first started unfolding, I thought, where is Denzel Washington when we need him most? Remember Denzel from the Pelican Breach?
Yeah.
My goodness, I said, this sounds so much like it. The only thing is, we don't have anybody, nobody's been lying in a car so far.
Yeah.
We have a Chief Justice who died. Chief Anthony Scalia, he died. He's like a chief who died in the movie, the Pelican Breach, but he goes, they're not the same way.
It is interesting, Bernadette. You're right. Thank you for the call. Jenny, you know, I was saying to people, as you know, some of my staff downloads stuff for me to watch rather on long flights. So they downloaded this, I guess it's a Showtime show on there. So they have all this intelligence stuff all over the world. And, I mean, we're living this out. It's Trump. The documents that are being shown. We live in the South, but then I saw on one of the websites this morning, the people that do House of Cards on Netflix said that they're ruining their season because Trump is more dramatic than House of Cards. You talk about House of Cards, they say then, this presidency is better than whatever's coming on Netflix in terms of that kind of excitement.
Absolutely. You don't have to. You just need to turn on CNN or MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, every night at 9 o'clock, watch Lauren O'Donnell at 10 o'clock, and then watch the national news at 11 o'clock, and you have got your fill of Scandal, Homeland, House of Cards, all of those shows, because this could not have been written. As cleverly as it has been done here. This is masterful reality television at its best. It's insane, but it does keep us riveted. It you can't turn away from it.
Yeah, and it would be entertaining if it wasn't real and so serious. When we talk about people's lives, let's go to Trey in Seattle, Washington, KYIZ 1620. We're keeping it real with Jennifer John Ross from the Now Shop. All right.
Hey, I was thinking, because it seems like this, as far as the voters go, like we keep giving these type of words. And, I've done a little dirt in my life. It seems like there didn't need to be any evidence to get me to convict me. And it's funny how they need everything to convict them. And for researching and finding out that a lot of these people wear the fezzes in the closet, but they don't come out and wear the fezzes in the public. And if our leaders and our well-to-do so-called black people wear the fezzes outside and explain to people what that means, then we should get out of this mess.
Well, why don't you tell me?
Oh, okay. Well, when using the term Negro, Black, and Color, there's a thing called a black hole. And it's
called what?
They can Google black hole and Christian hole. And when you use the term Negro, Black, and Color, you qualify yourself from justice. You need a nationality.
Okay, so what does that have to do with Terry Preston? He was dead. He didn't identify himself as a Negro.
Well, because us as a people, we don't...
No. Us as a people were not killed. You started by saying that this case. Explain to me how that would apply to this case.
Well, that would apply to this case because if he was considered Negro, Black, and Color...
But we don't... Well, who said he was considered?
We know he was.
How do we know?
Because his sister is black. And when they talk about black man,
You don't know what he claimed himself to be.
Well,
I mean, the reason I'm pressing on this place is that we have 40 different ways that we can explain why we at fault. The man had his hands over an abandoned car. You going to try and act like if he had identified himself differently, he would have gotten justice?
Yeah, well, saying that our leaders could identify us differently.
Our leaders didn't shoot him, and our leaders didn't handle the case.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if our leaders, if you hear me out, then we won't disagree. If our leaders, and not just, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about all of you. I'm talking about the people in the public that know that we're the treasure in the dark, that don't wear them outside.
What I'm saying to you is that we have a system that is stacked against us. And unless we deal with correcting, changing, or taking over that system, however we identify ourselves, we're still going to have to come back to dealing with that system. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. 1-877-532-5797. Keeping it real. Shocking. Jennifer Jones Austin. Be right back.
Breaking news. The issue, the cause affecting now. Here's the news of News1.com.
I'm Ebony McMorris. Many Republican lawmakers retain confidence in the president, even if they grapple with a series of damaging developments out of the White House. Erica Warner gives us the details.
Is supportive of Trump, but not lost confidence in him. And Senate Majority Leader McConnell has said the same. Senator McCain, at this point, is probably the most outspoken Republican lawmaker in raising red flags. And he's taking the Watergate comparison, not because he's suggesting that the outcome will be the same, but that what the president should do is what President Nixon should not do, and that is to get all of the facts out, and that that's the only way that this will come through.
Well, it is official. The Senate Judiciary Committee has officially asked former FBI Director James Comey to testify. Reporter Jack McCrone.
The committee leaders say that they want to question Comey about his conversations with President Trump and his administration, and former President Obama and his administration. The committee also asked the FBI and the White House for documents and tapes related to Comey's conversations with President Trump.
Meanwhile, the president has interviewed four candidates for the post of FBI director.
Four potential candidates for the open FBI director's position interviewed with President Donald Trump on Wednesday. Trump met with former
Connecticut Senator
FBI Director Andrew McCabe and Richard McSweeney, who is a former top FBI official. Attorney General Jeff Sessions backed in on the interview. Trump said Monday the search for a successor to James Comey is moving rapidly. Trump fired Comey as FBI director last week. Mike Brosia, Washington.
For all the news 24/7, go to news1.com. I'm Ebony McMorris.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt
for funders, policymakers, and creditors.
Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-980-5485. 800-980-5485. That's 800-980-5485.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders.
System.
You can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit, strictly from your computer or smartphone, and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 67cash.com, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
Thank you.
to Jennifer Jones Austin, our co-host. And Jennifer Jones Austin, President Donald Trump, just said that Senator Joe Lieberman, former Senator of Connecticut, is his top choice for FBI director. Senator Graham has become
thinker, oars, and leader.
I ran president against Joe Lieberman in the Democratic primary in 2004 and campaigned against him for re-election to the Senate, where he got out. He said some very violent things that he campaigned against him for. But obviously, I have serious questions about Joe Lieberman being made the FBI director.
He was a Democrat,
and did he,
talk about going independent?
Yep.
Okay.
That is the same. And he was a Blue Dog Democrat, and that's how he ran. And then we went up campaigned against him. And then even in the race when he and I were running for president, we had a real battle. So very interesting and troubling nomination if in fact that becomes the one he put up as the FBI director, but he's quoted as saying that's his number one choice.
And a quick read of the political is suggesting that he works at the same law firm with Mark Kaplan, who is a Trump's long-term lawyer.
Yeah.
So he currently works with Mark Kaplan, Trump's long-term lawyer. This president, the rules do not apply, or the appearance of integrity and discretion, This is if you want to find an official, every time you look, there seems to be some abuse or an attempt to just overstep whatever boundaries and legitimate and respectable structures and institutional practices have been in place for centuries. It is his intent to just circumvent those whenever he sees fit, however he
Hello?
Sees
fit.
What's
going on, B?
Man, just driving back to Chicago right now.
Turn up.
Now's a good time. No, it just worked. Now's a good time to talk.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to check back in with you about the video. I sent an email maybe earlier this week, just sort of filling out a little bit more of the scope of the project. And, still definitely very much like to lead with your voice and your analysis. It's the first video that we dropped, still hopefully on June 19th. So I'd like to set up a time to come film you and then get set up a time for you to come to my office and then so maybe do some voiceover. So I don't know if you have any time over the next 2 weeks for me.
Yeah, looking at my calendar now. Monday and Tuesday next week, well, actually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday I open, and then I'm gone. I'm BYP at the BYP convening in New Orleans the week after, so next week would probably be best.
Okay. So, explain to me, you're leaving your job, so where are we going to film you? Did Jeff Rump and Smart Dude?
The Smart Dude?
Well, I'm here through at least through June, Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I have an office space here. I'm making the answers right now. But if you want to get a real life shot of my working space with all the nuts and bolts of it, you can come here and look at my tools here.
Okay.
So do you want to do that recording next week? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if you could.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. So if we can find some time next week, either during the day or in the early evening, that'll probably be better when folks are running around here tracking me.
Right.
But I have access to the place 24/7, so whenever you want to do it.
Tell me, I'm pretty free, man. I'm pretty free next week.
Let's see. Monday's a busy day. Tuesday or Thursday look like the best days.
Okay. Tuesday, what time?
I can do the. I think I probably want to do it later, so maybe about 4 or 5.
Perfect. Or Tuesday at 4:30.
Okay, yeah, let's do 4:30. That'll work.
And do you have a kid that is still on Fondelac, or did it?
No, I'm at the downtown office on, yeah. Tank level 7. Yeah, I still, and that thing, I have, but I haven't had a chance to put my stuff together. So that now that I know we have a date, I'll build in some time to make sure my messaging is on point from what you gave us.
All right, man, I appreciate it, man. How are everything else going, man?
It's going, just getting stuff ready for transition, so and all that entails. But I'm good, everything's good.
Okay. Well, sure. If you have any questions or you need to change, you can update it on my book number. I ain't never going to change my doc.
All right. I got you. All right, I'll see you then.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
What we do here? Jones, Austin, Stockton, we'll be right back.
We discovered that my daughter was using this drug. We were really at a loss. We've been told by so many people to kick her out, to use tough gloves. You can't take a one-size-fits-all approach to substance use disorders. They're all different. You are the only one that knows your child. It's a slow process. And although it hasn't been perfect, she's not using drugs anymore. We're really hopeful. We're all in recovery from this disease.
There's hope and help at drugfree.org. A message from Partnership for Drug Free. I believe in you. Step 4 simple words. But to a child in need, they mean the world. When you become a child sponsor to save a veteran, you're saying, I believe in it. You're worthy.
Maxwell is performing at the 2017 Allstate Family Reunion this Labor Day weekend. For one night only, Pretty Wings. Sit by the ocean. Whenever, wherever, whatever. The only way to see Maxwell is for your family and friends to be at the 2017 Allstate Family Reunion. Package holders are guaranteed tickets to every concert happening every night. This Labor Day weekend, see Maxwell live only at the Allstate Family Reunion at the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. Go to blackamericaweb.com for details. Call 407-248-9191 to book it. Maxwell at the Allstate Family Reunion. Be there.
Do you or someone you know need help, financial, medical, and or family resources? You need to attend the WNOB Community Resource Fair Saturday, June 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club, 3000 North Sherman Boulevard. This fair will be like no other fair you've ever attended. There will be a basketball clinic for the youth, live entertainment, the Bruce City Corvette Club, and lots of fun. Also, you will have a chance to win $86 every hour with a grand prize of $860 at the end of the event. So pack up the kids and plan to attend the WNOB Community Resource Fair Saturday, June 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club, 3000 North Shepherd Boulevard. This is your chance to get your family on the right track. This event is free and open to the public.
Union Worship 2017 will be a year like no other. May the 25th through the 27th, featuring the teaching ministry of Melva Henderson.
When you're looking at your bank account, and you know that God is the God of more than enough, but you don't have enough, you give thanks.
Be free.
Because despite the devil has turned up the heat, come on, God has turned up the heat as well.
Be the same faith
that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. I can walk in the blessing of Almighty God.
And Saturday morning prayer with Pastor Francesca Gargara. Powerful worship, powerful prayer, powerful message. Registration is open. Reserve your spot today for Women in Worship 2017. For more information, you can register now at womeninworship.me.
He said that he's going to supply all of my need according to his riches.
Nicobani has it going on now. They have the $100 hookup sale just in time for graduation and, of course, Father's Day. Suits, shirts, ties, shoes for just $100. All these are on selected items with a large variety of colors. Also, check on their new summer selection of blazers, suits, decks, and much, much more. So what are you waiting for? Get down to Nicobani's on the second floor of the Grand Avenue Mall for the $100 hookup sale now. They are open every day of the week. Don't meet me there, meet me there, because there is only one place to go, Nicobani's.
Are you an artist who is looking for an artist to meet the target audience? Do you have a business that would love to go right on? Or are you a corporation who would love to be a partner with your business? You need to be a part of WNOB 4th Annual Community Resource Fair. That is Tuesday, 2017, at the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club, 3000 North Sherman Boulevard. The call to radio station today, 414-449-5490, and say, I will be part of the Community Resource Fair. There will be booth, front, and live entertainment. So call today, 414-449-5490.
Spirit self,
Reverend Al Sharpton, and we're back. Jennifer Jones Austin is our co-host. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia on XM126. Brenda, you're keeping it real with Jones Austin and Sharpton.
Good afternoon, Reverend Al. And this is Jones Austin. You are just absolutely awesome. Thank you for that information. And it's always good to talk with both of you today. And my heart certainly goes out to the Crutcher family today, right now. I don't think people can, imagine, anyone that lose a loved one in such a bunched way. Right now, one thing I want to say about the Trump administration has given people that already hate black and brown people a life to hate. The quick burning that was in Charlottesville, Virginia, Charlottesville, only 1 hour from me, and that's causing that to the KKK. And I grew up in a little small town here in Virginia, and I'm used to, and I've seen the Klan in that quick burning. So it wasn't any different when I saw right here 1 hour from me in Charlottesville, regardless of what excuses they want to use of why they want to keep that capacity. And so they want to stand there with torches being burned. And look now, I really want your listeners, and I really hope your listeners, and I say that because I want to touch on that. I want people want you listen to understand the danger of having a U.S. Attorney General like Jeff Sessions, and what that means regarding, I know you brought it up earlier, police matters, and when it comes to police brutality and more shootings and profiles. Right now, and Mr. Jones, I have a 27-year-old son. And right now, you actually know my 13-year-old, which is Elijah, so friend.
Right.
But I also have a 27-year-old. And right now, let me tell you, he lived in Apple.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Iraq. He came out. He worked for a prison system in Georgia. And he went to North State University. He was working a part-time job in the work. And, he was fine. Bible said, by Barranco County Police, and they say that they stopped him. He told me, I don't know protocol. Thank God, because he could have been because the cops don't know protocol, and because of the position he's been in. He waited for the police officer yesterday from his vehicle, and he called me, and he was looking at the cops, and he's a mom, and he let me know where he was at. So I was able to get there. And
oh, why was I under the impression that?
Then they got in that vehicle and left. We did file a complaint. And once we did file, and then I addressed the chief of police and also the officer that trained the officer. And I said to both of them, let me explain something to you. You've already threatened my 13-year-old for playing with a white guy. Now you have named the profile, my 27-year-old, and then I gave him his background.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't have but two. And then they say, Elijah was getting ready. And I can't say that this is the reason, but I can tell you one thing. My son knew protocol. So he was extremely careful about what he did. And I think that's the only thing that saved my son's life. And I kid not. But I said, right now, I don't have a doubt in my mind about this one. And it's just my opinion. But Elijah, just before Elijah was getting ready, my son received a text. He was supposed to go to court. But just before Elijah was to speak, and they learned that my oldest son, Elijah doesn't have the same last name. So they learned it as who he is. Before Elijah was to speak at the Democratic National Convention, not even through the Commonwealth Attorney office, but they dropped my son's charge. Called him up that morning and dropped his charge. I called the Commonwealth Attorney because I happened to know her very well. She had no clue that if he came to her office. And if anybody knows anything about that, that charge would have came to her office and she would have knew about it before the police could even drop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Thank you for your call and thank you for your son. Wow. Let me try to get some more before we have to go, Jimmy. Let's go back to Chicago to Rodney. Rodney, you're keeping it real with Al Sharpton and Jennifer Jones off.
How you doing, David Al?
I'm good.
Taking my call. I have a question. Mr. Crutcher, was he involved in any kind of criminal activity?
No.
So what was the reason for that? Why didn't they talk about that? I mean,
we did. His car broke down. Right.
And he was like that?
That's exactly why there's outrage. He had a car breakdown. And the police did not claim he was involved in criminal activity. She said that I thought I was in danger because he was outside the car and with his hands up, and that she claimed he reached in the window of the car. They went through all the videos. He never reached in the window of the car. And after she killed him, there was no gun or nothing in the car.
But my thing is if I'm telling you, or if somebody just said he had his car broke down, I mean, why are all the tables and the guns and the first one so necessary?
Absolutely. That is, now you understand our outrage. It is totally unnecessary. And totally, let's say, for example, Rodney and Jenny, if he was doing something criminal, you don't execute him. The only reason that a policeman is justified at any point
is his life is spared.
That is correct. That's the only reason.
And what we have here is a situation of the stereotype that, you know, the white man and the white woman should fear the black man.
Right.
And, you know, when you have a trial by jury, as you have in such a case as this, you know, regardless of the fact that you actually have people of color who serve as jurors, when you have a white woman who is, you know, claiming that she fears for her life, it just turns on all types of stereotypes that go back, you know, a century or more, and people fall into that trap. This is not an objective review of the evidence. This is, you know, jurors coming together, hearing evidence, but subjectivity, stereotypes, biases play in, and you do not have to be white to have that bias or that stereotype. And, you know, when you have a white woman who's claiming fear and falling apart, that's going to feed into that stereotype.
That's the problem. Jennifer, thank you. Thank you, Rodney. Jennifer, stay with me. Let's go to Mark. Mark.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
Good to be with you. It's mainly, a comment. The emergence of Donald Trump as president has kind of exposed some flaws in our laws, like that need to be corrected. And if he is removed, we should think about sort of closing some loopholes, such as nepotism have any background there or security meetings. I think we should have the president wants to, the president has a relative working inside the White House. I think that person should.
Very interesting. Thank you for your call, Mark. Thank you, Jennifer Jones Austin. Let me thank Congressman Al Green. Let me thank Mayor Pat Hester. And certainly let me thank Dr. Crutcher, Deputy Crutcher, the French kicker of Sheriff Crutcher killed by police in the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me thank all of you that called in, listened in, you that called in and couldn't get through, but hung in there anyhow. Remember, whatever you do, wherever you go, however you feel, tell somebody, tell anybody, tell everybody.
Bridging and bridging. Ringing and bridging.
Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Breaking news. The issue, the phone is affecting me. Now here's the news from News1.com.
I'm Ebony McMorris. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark is planning to take a job as an assistant secretary in the Department of Homeland Security. The controversial sheriff, an ally of President Trump, says he'll work in the Office of Partnership and Engagement. He'll be serving as a liaison to state, local, and tribal law enforcement and government. A study of about 500 conversations between transportations and doctors finds that the issue of the cost of care is brought up only about 20% of the time. The studies were done by the Mayo Clinic, Marilyn Marcione, City Camp.
We all know that cost of care is rapidly rising. Cancer patients are three times more likely to declare bankruptcy. But they're concerned about how often doctors bring up cost with patients and how aware they are of the cost to make determined care. This is an attempt to listen in and see what happens in the real world, how often patients are given a realistic estimate or idea of what cost would be for them. Usually, in these exams, we spent 15 to 30 minutes on average. Cost did not come up, and when it did, it was talked about for less than 2 minutes. So there's a lot of room for improvement to give cancer patients a better idea of the money involved in treatment.
Are you saving enough for retirement? Read a poll report. Black Americans are less likely to have enough money to get them through the golden years. An ACNORC survey finds that older white Americans are nearly twice as likely as African Americans to say they saved enough for retirement. And here's an eye-opener. 14% of older blacks and Latinos have no sources of income for retirement. Only 4% of whites say they're in that situation. And this goes beyond pensions, 401ks, and other retirement accounts. The AP survey finds that older whites are also more likely to collect Social Security, inherit money from their families, or receive income from the sale of a home or other physical assets. I'm Rita Foley. For all the news, Christopher Sellers, go to News1.com. I have a nice morning.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts, too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative, and their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letter, stop aggressive collection action, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important that you act while you still have options. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau that offers a one-of-a-kind guarantee. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-395-7366. 800-395-7366. 800-395-7366.
Optima Tax Relief. Some restrictions apply. For details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the cost, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Med alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-431-4290 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Helping manage fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply, delivering straight to your door. Just call 800-431-4290. That's 800-431-4290. Again, 800-431-4290.
Community Baptist Church at 2249 North Shepherd Boulevard invites you to their youth revival May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 2017 at Community Baptist Church, 2249 North Shepherd Boulevard. It starts at 6 p.m. with the young reverend out of Florida, Maurice Taylor. Don't miss it at Community Baptist Church, 2249 North Sherman Boulevard, as they present their youth revival May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 2017, starting at 6 p.m. with the energized young Reverend Maurice Taylor out of Florida. Don't miss it. WNOV 860 and W293CX 106.5, Milwaukee.
WNOV 860, the voice is bringing you something new.
It's not what you're used to.
The midweek flow feature the walk's own Michelle Bryant.
If you think for 5 minutes I don't have an opinion, please, you better ask somebody. Yeah, it's about to go down. 2 days a week.
Tuesdays and Thursdays and Tuesdays, Bob.
Talk radio for the enlightened, no written facts. Whether tackling the elephant in the room, diving into key issues, or just missing the key on how to happen every day, just
lean back
and join the midweek flush with Michelle Bryant.
The views and opinions expressed on this show do not reflect that of the staff and management of WNOV and W293CX 106.5 FM Courier Communications Milwaukee, but are the sole comments of the host and guests of this particular show.
Thank you.